So give us a brief history of export controls and how they worked before you tried to unify it into some kind of cogent system here.
Sure. We control a number of things for export, both munitions items and items that we call dual use that are commercial items that can be used in a military application. And we also have some controls in place for sanctions to stop things like we're seeing in Syria right now. And so right now, the system we have in place has sort of evolved over time during the Cold War era. So we really ended up having three different licensing agencies administering two different control lists. We have a multitude of export enforcement agencies that are with overlapping and duplicative authorities in enforcing these controls. And everybody in all the different agencies all have their own separate internal databases and IT systems. So it really is... as you said, it really is a mishmash. So what's resulted in is that we ended up focusing more on who controls it when which agency rather than what should be controlled. And so that actually has not helped our national security, certainly hasn't helped our economic security, and it hasn't helped our companies maintain their competitiveness. So it really was a challenge to address overhauling this entire system.
So how did you overhaul the system?
Well, what we ended up doing was each president since President Kennedy has actually attempted to do this, which has been rather interesting. And I think what we did that was different this time is that, we put forward a recommendation. It's like rather than doing a new study of the system, there's been over 90 GAO studies of our export control system since the fall of the Soviet Union. We said, why don't you have a team of people pulled out of the departments and have that team put forward a series of recommendations on what you would see if you had carte blanche to build a new system. And so that's exactly what we did. The White House approved that. So we pulled people from eight different departments and agencies with expertise in all these different pieces of our system, pulled that team together and created a task force. And what happened was is the president himself directed that we have the team put forward a recommendation to him personally on what we would do to overhaul the system. So we did that, and the cabinet gave us 8 weeks to do that. And miraculously, and after a lot of time and effort, people took their agency hats off and really had sort of a team effort approach. And we actually, we did the report, we turned it in and had it to the president in 8 weeks.
So the team was actually made up of people who were already within the system so they would know.
Exactly. We pulled people with expertise across the government. So you had basically the GS-14s and GS-15s across the government who were on this team. So, and to our surprise, my personal surprise, it was not anticipated, is that at a cabinet-level meeting, the decision was made that because the team had done, I think General Jones here at the National Security Council, the former National Security Advisor, said at the meeting, he said, this team's done more than in 8 weeks than we were able to get done in about 10 years. And so they actually decided to keep us together. So we actually are serving as sort of the coordinating body for implementing the plan that was approved. So we're in the phase two of a three-phase implementation plan, which has been very, very labor-intensive, but lots of people and lots and all of the departments working very hard on this. So it's been exciting times for export controls.
And what I'm hearing is something you haven't said explicitly, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but it sounds to me like this is something that may have been desired by the political appointees, but it took dedicated career civil servants to make it actually happen.
No, that's right. I think what's happened is because this is a technical area, it's a nuanced area, and you deep dive almost immediately into the weeds. And so I think what's happened in the past is that I came over to the White House, to the National Security Council in the last year of the Bush administration, and we were working then on trying to make these changes. And I think that the level of high-level interest wanes fairly quickly just because it is a very technical area. But I think that's what's been different this time is that there has been sustained high-level support for the effort from day one, which has made all the difference in the world. So you're right. So the political and all the departments in here at the White House compound has been tremendous. But it's really been the work of the career employees and the experts in the agencies that are really carrying our water on doing the technical work.
Brian Nielsen is Director for Nonproliferation Weapons of Mass Destruction Directorate on the President's National Security Staff and a nominee for a Service to America Medal. And I wanted to find out your reaction to learning that you're one of the finalists.
Well, it was very excited because we did not realize that we'd been nominated. And in fact, it's the whole task force that's been nominated. So the whole team is a group nominee. So we've been very excited about it. It's been again, it's a good motivator given that we're in phase, like I say, in the middle of this whole effort. So it's a really nice feeling to be recognized, especially as we're in the midst of still doing implementation. So it's exciting times.
And I was wondering if you are involving the exporters themselves, because they have been vocal over the years in their opposition to the way this whole system has worked. Are they involved, and what will they see differently once the work is done?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. They've been involved. What we've done, everything we've done to date, we're doing a series of proposed rule changes before we publish any changes in final and actually where they go into place. And so just in, like, for example, rebuilding the two control list, which is the most important aspect of what we're doing, we've developed two major methodology documents, one that we published in December and then one we published just in July, where we published it for the public to comment on. And so we've gotten an avalanche of input, which has been very helpful, I mean, both good and in things that, you know, changes that we needed to make. So the public is very, very involved, industry is very involved in participating, as is the Hill and as are our allies. Our export control system is, it impairs our ability, our allies' ability to stay with us in the field in Afghanistan and Iraq, and because it hampers their supply chain for systems that we sold them. So,
and just one little quick wonkish question: you issued proposed rules and not interim rules, which would have gone into effect immediately.
Exactly. Yes, because part of what we're doing for we want to make sure that we're getting it right, and so that's why we're doing them proposed first, so that we can get public input. And then we'll turn them into final rules once we've considered the public's input. So we have a lot in the pipeline. We've done we've published one category, rebuilt category, to show industry how we're doing it. And in fact, we have 18 more that are already drafted, and we have the next category is about to come out. We'll just doing the list work. We'll do a series of 156 regulation changes over the next year and a half. To put the new system just for the control list in place.